And this week, I love going and finding these obscure passages that are like, what's this got to do with planting and harvesting? Why can't we just go to the fields are white for the harvest or something like that from the New Testament? And yet, I have this passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that I know you're all familiar with or should be if you read your Bible. And so if you would stand with me this morning, we're going to read God's Word. And I've entitled the message, Realizing the Dream. Realizing the Dream. We'll begin, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. I pray that it would go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint the word for this hour, Lord, and for your people, and we give you praise and thanks for all things, and ask, Lord, your will be done. Be with us. Continue to be with those who have need. Those that aren't here this morning, touch them. Continue to strengthen and lift them up. If they've been called away for work or whatever, let them know, Father, you are still with them, and let them feel your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are now getting ready to close out our journey through this topic of the harvest. We've talked about a bunch of different things. We've talked about preparing the soil. We've talked about planting. We've talked about tending to the harvest last week, tending to the harvest field, what we need to do. What began as a dream must eventually become a reality. You know, it is interesting when you think about it that those who farm, even though they understand what's going on, for the most part, farming itself seems to be wrapped up in the idea of a dream. It's based on faith. Now, Jesus' day, much more so than ours. We have all the wonderful science that can tell us why things happen the way that they happen. And yet, at the same time, you can lay that all out scientifically, and what it doesn't explain to me is the why. Why? Well, the scientists will say, because this and this and this and this, and they'll kind of lay everything out, and I'll go, but why? Well, you know, because genetically, this and this happens, and when this comes with this and all this happens, my answer is still, why? Yesterday, we got the phone call at 3:30 in the morning. Why don't babies come at like 9 a.m. or noon? And I don't mean, well, Ben was born at 11:11, okay? Probably going to be one of the easiest ones for me to remember, 11:11, right? If it had been 7:11, it had been even easier to remember. I could have equated it with coffee, you know. Anyway. But the point is that we get up to the call at 3:30 in the morning, and, of course, we've got Ellie with us. And so we said, we'll be there at the hospital. We'll have her. We'll take care of her. Christopher can go in with Katie and all of that stuff, and everything will be fine. And so we had a really good time. We sat there, and we colored and watched SpongeBob and colored some more and watched some more SpongeBob and all kinds of, you know, other things besides SpongeBob. But SpongeBob's what really caught my attention. That and Phineas and Ferb, when it came on, okay, you had me. I was gone. I was totally lost, Phineas and Ferb. But the idea is, so we sat there and we had a good time. I went downstairs and brought us up breakfast and everything like that. Finally, I don't know what time it was. The baby came a little after 11. We thought, going to get to see the baby. Going to get to see the baby. First grandson, right? That's right. Amen. I'm praying, dear Lord, that name has got to go on for one more generation. Right? So the idea there, I'm waiting and I'm waiting. It's 12. It's 12:30. What's going on? We're doing all these wonderful things. Give the baby shots. Do this, do that, everything else. Finally, we get to go in. And, of course, they're trying to get his, you know, keep him warm and everything, get his body temperature up. And they're saying, well, you can't, you know, you got to wash your hands first. So I get over there and it's like, get out of my way. I'm going to the sink and I'm washing my hands and everything else. And don't bother me. It's my grandson, right? And he's going to be as awesome as my granddaughter is, right? Because grandkids are just cool. Amen. Grandkids are the best. We have a lot of good fun. We have a lot of fun, good time. Then we send them home. No, anyway. But the point is that, so I'm ready. And he's about this big. Right? And so I get to hold him. And as I'm holding him, and as I'm thinking about us, I think to myself, it's amazing. Even scientifically, we can explain reproduction and birth. And yet we have to ask the question, why? This is not by some chance that this is even possible. There's something behind this that we just, I don't care how many textbooks you write, I don't care how many journal articles you produce, there's something there that just doesn't make sense without God. Describe it and define it however you want. Argue with me about it however you want. If I don't like your argument, I tune you out anyway. But the point is there's just something special about it. I looked at him when she was born. I looked at her and I'm like, this is amazing. Did it with every one of my boys. It's amazing. And of course, every one of my children and my grandchildren are like the best looking kids you ever saw. If you don't believe me, just ask me. I'll tell you. But why? And we look at this passage and then we talk about the same thing is true with harvesting and planting and reaping and sowing and all these things that we talk about. And all of it's true, and it's just amazing how God has done it. In our scripture passage this morning, the writer of Ecclesiastes implores his readers to cast their bread upon the water. And this is where I'm going with this idea of why and I'm not understanding this. Because as I read this passage, I think to myself, what a illustration. I can't say it out loud now because somebody will hear it. What a silly illustration. Casting your bread upon the water? Well, I thought you couldn't hear. The idea of casting your bread upon the water. And I think of myself, I remember as a kid, we used to put bread on hooks to try to catch fish, right? How many of you ever done that? Right? That's casting your bread into the water. But he says, cast your bread upon the water, and in a few days, it may return to you. Like, who's going to stand there and wait for soggy bread to come back to the shore? But he gives us this, he implores his readers to do this. And the traditional interpretation of the first verse is one of giving alms. In essence, it's the idea that you give and then see how the Lord returns in your giving. And while this is not a message on tithing or giving or anything or whatever, the idea is there. Now, I say this to say that, and this is why I've used this passage here when talking about realizing the dream, is that I believe this is true of God's dynamic of everything. I don't care what it is, if I do and give to the Lord, He will always give back in increase. Without exception. That's just His dynamic. It's the way He is. It's the way He's laid this out. And so, while this may seem like a careless act on the part of the giver, it shows us that in whatever we do for the Lord, we will experience return. This might be best shown in the next verse, which might fall in the line with the idea of don't put your eggs all in one basket. Remember that old saying? Don't put your eggs all in one basket. The thought of taking proper care of what God has given us is very important. And yet we see that too great an emphasis on care can be crippling. And that's what I want to talk about this morning when I talk about realizing the dream. Imagine the farmer who refused to plant because of the uncertainty the summer had in store for him. To receive a harvest, he must plant seeds. To experience a harvest, he must do the same. The seed is the word of God and the redemptive story of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not something that we hold on to and keep to ourselves for the sake of the unknown. It is scattered as bread upon the water with us not knowing how it will be received or returned. And this is best shown in this verse 4, where we see that everything must be accomplished in its proper time. You know, Kim just made a comment about the fact that it's March. Okay? And it is. I can't believe it's March already. 2 months gone. Time to start Christmas shopping. No? Okay. Then my birthday's in June. No. Anyway, I got to thinking about it. We've had a lot of rain. And you know what hasn't started yet? April showers. April showers are still to come. We've had all this rain and we can expect more. Now imagine for a moment, that being said, that I was a farmer looking at how things are. We were driving down the street yesterday and going down Indian River Road, and I'm looking outside the window to the van, and I'm sitting in the back seat, and Ellie and I are there, and she's, you know, she likes sitting in that van. She can see all kinds of things going on. I'm looking by, and I'm seeing all this water just sitting on the grass. It's got nowhere to go. Everything is drenched. It's soaked. And we can expect more. Now, if I were a farmer and I was experiencing what I'm experiencing right now, and I look at the uncertainty of what would happen in March and in April going into May, I might tend to want to say to myself, I don't think I'll plant this year. Because it's going to get washed out anyway. And that's not a really good approach to my livelihood, is it? We plant in faith, believing that whatever I do, God's going to bring the increase. We cast our bread upon the water. So there are three things I'd like for us to look at this morning as we talk about this idea. The first of these, and we see these in the verses, that he says, he who observes the wind will not sow. And I'm focusing really on verse 4 this morning. And the idea here is that there is a time of sowing. If the writer of Ecclesiastes says, he who observes the wind will not sow, what that tells me is there is a time to sow. That's a given. Okay? The Hebrew word for wind here can be translated to mean life breath. Imagine that for a moment. He who observes the life breath of God will not sow. That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? If I'm focused on God, I'm going to sow. But if I'm looking at, and again, remember, we've talked about how seed was, we've looked at how seed was planted back then. We talked about the garden path and the thorns and everything like that. Seed was scattered. So imagine for a moment scattering seed and all of a sudden the wind comes by and just takes everything and blows it into your neighbor's garden. You're going to have a really nice crop and you got a bunch of dust, right, and dirt. You get the weeds. They're going to come anyway. But if I stand there and say, well, you know what? It's the uncertainty of the wind is going to keep me from fulfilling my duty as the farmer, I'm not going to sow. So what that means is that we cannot sit idly by waiting. I can't just sit there waiting to see what's going to happen. You see, in sowing the seed of God's word in the lives of others, we are offering them the very life breath of God, the ruach, the very life breath of, I love saying that word, that's why I had to do it, I just had to throw it out there, the very life breath of God. And so if I'm kind of looking at the situation, and let's be honest, okay, we live in some fairly windy times right now. And there are people who have crippled themselves looking at what's going on saying, I just can't sow the seed because I don't know where it's going to go, where it's going to land, or what's going to happen. That's not our call. That's God's call. We just can't sit idly by saying, well, you know, I just don't know. I think I'm going to wait and see if things get better. That's like the person who says, well, I really want to go to church, but I've got to get my life in order first. We never do it. Okay? We must move against the winds of change. And believe me, our world today is filled with the winds of change. We see so many things happening. It's amazing how fast things are moving and things are going on. We got to move against those. We got to enter God's field. We have to plant the seed that He intended to be planted. And we can't just sit by and say, well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens over here and see if things kind of calm down a little bit. Or I'm going to go over here and see what's going on and see if things improve here a little bit. Then I'll determine where I'm going to go. As I mentioned previously, you know, when we are called into the field, we are called into the field. We just don't go looking for good soil. We're called where the rocks and the thorns and the weeds all exist. We don't have the option of choosing. I mean, it's like standing there saying, well, this is ridiculous, casting your bread upon the water. I mean, who does this? What a waste of good bread. We do it when we feed the ducks. The ducks love when you cast your bread upon the water. Don't they? Yes. Okay. But it never returns. Unless I have duck for dinner. But But the idea there, you know, we cannot wait for the perfect opportunity because the perfect opportunity will never come. We will never see the perfect opportunity because that's not what God wants us to do. The thought here, think about this for a moment. If the opportunity is perfect, why do I need faith? And yet our lives of ministry are faith lives. We walk in faith. We live by faith. We're justified by faith. Everything that happens, all that who we are is wrapped up in faith. And yet, if I wait for the very best, perfect opportunity to do, I don't need faith. I can do it in my own power. I've shared this with students before who, you know, we talk about, they'll say, well, you know, how do you, you know, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, well, I'm really good at this and I'm really good at that or whatever. And some are just, I'm a really good teacher. I said, there's nothing wrong with being a really good teacher. I love to teach. I love to preach. I love to put everything together. But if I just walk in here on Sunday morning and try to do it of my own power without the faith of God and trusting in God, you're not going to get any, I hope you get something out of this. You're not going to get anything out of it. And there's nothing eternal behind it. There are many things, and we'll talk about this when we get into the 301 class, there are many things that we're all comfortable doing. How many of you have ever taken a spiritual gifts test before? And you kind of know what your top three are. What's your bottom three? Because that's where God has to work. Think about that for a moment. Oh, I can do this, this, and this. I'm gifted in this. God has shown me. This is the only place I can function. And yet, what if He calls you outside of that? Then where do you have to do it? How do you accomplish it? By faith. Not just by blindly walking in. But that same faith that works in the bottom three must also be active in the top. The same faith that we see here in the idea of entering into the harvest field is a faith that says, I will go in. I'm not going to sit idly by. I can't look at the winds of change that are around me. I must just walk and step in faith, believing that God will do what God wants to do. The second thing we see here is that he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now, again, you know, talk about regarding the clouds lately and all the rain that we've had. I was watching the news this week and I wasn't watching. Again, I was walking through the room as the news was on. And I'm one of those people. I don't know how you are, but maybe it's just one of those things where I have some attention deficit thing going on. But I'll tell you what, if I walk through the room like this and I see a television on, I gotta see what's on it. I don't really care what's on it. I'll be honest with you. I walk through the room and I stopped to see what they were selling on QVC. I didn't care. They don't sell anything for guys. Right? Well, every once in a while I got one of those air pump things to pump my tires up, something like that. Those are awesome tools, or men tools. But, you know, I don't care how much skin cream they're selling there. And why that woman keeps rubbing her hands. It drives me nuts. I digress. But I do that. And so I'm walking through, and they're talking about the vineyards in California and all the rain they've had. Now everything's going to get washed out. There's a possibility that they will wash out the vineyards. And I was telling this to somebody yesterday. He says, well, that's good for the wine. I says, yeah, but what are we going to do about grape juice on Sunday morning? I mean, but the idea there, you know, and so what, now think about this for a moment. So imagine the farmers in California getting ready to put together or to groom their crops for a harvest of grapes saying, you know what, looks like it's going to be a really rainy season. Let's skip this one. Farmers don't do that. I mean, Debbie's father used to raise, when he was alive, he raised feed corn and soybeans. And I can't remember how many times in the years that when we lived in Ohio, he had certain sections of the field that were just totally washed out by rain and low-lying areas. But the farmer still goes out and plants his crop. He doesn't look at the sky and say, well, I don't know, this doesn't look really good this year. I think I'll skip it. They don't have that luxury. But yet in the kingdom of God, for some reason, we feel we have the luxury to say, I don't like the sky. I think I'll just not take care of this today. God, check up with me tomorrow. I'll see how things look then and decide what I want to do. And that's how we approach it. But see, you need to realize that there's a time for reaping, just like there's a time for sowing. And in reaping the results of God's word in the lives of others, we are offering them the opportunity to a new life free from the bondage of sin and death. And we must ignore the clouds of concern that we create or that the world puts around us that will keep us from moving forward to enter God's field to reap the harvest. There's a certain point in time where you must harvest the field, regardless of how things go. If the weather's bad and things are, you know, things just seem to be going on, eventually too much rain or too much sun will destroy the crop. And you just can't sit idly by and say, you know what, I'm not quite sure. I think I'll wait and see, and I'll put it off, 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 and I'll put it off. I'm going to watch and see when the weather's better or when things are better, when the events surrounding what I want to do are better. Because I'll be honest with you, if we continue to watch the world, it'll never be better. We'll never harvest the crop that God has called us to harvest because we're too busy sitting by waiting for things to get better. And I don't know, I read the end of the book, but I don't see where things improve. And we live in a world today where the animosity towards Jesus Christ alone is such that I can't imagine it improving. Unless we step into the field and harvest those who are ready for harvesting. We cannot wait for the perfect opportunity, for in doing so we may miss the right moment. And when they are ready to fully receive and accept Jesus Christ. We had this celebration service here last night for this lady, and she was a wonderful woman, loved the Lord, and they had family members come up and talk about her. And I had a young man say, I never heard her raise her voice to me in all my life. I had someone else came up here and shared something. Someone came up and talked about the fact that they were in the car together, and she, you know, of course, the woman had been old. She was much older now, and she just heard this kind of whispering, mumbling next to her. She thought, you know, what's going on there? She got all her faculties. So she looked at her, and she says, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying. Just sitting there in the car, mumbling a prayer. When the lady dropped her off, she said, let me ask you a question. How's your son? She said, I don't know. I guess he's okay. So after she dropped her off, she decided she's going to call her son and find out. She goes, how you doing? She goes, so-and-so was just praying for you. And he said, boy, did I need it right now. We don't know if we don't go. If we don't invest ourselves into others, we don't invest ourselves in the Lord, if we sit idly by waiting and saying, well, God, you know, I feel led to pray, but I just don't know what I should pray for. Sometimes we don't, but the Spirit in us prays as God leads, not as we choose. I don't know what to say to this person. We don't know what to say. Sometimes we just have to ask them, hey, what's going on in your life? How you doing? Is there something I can pray for you for? It's just amazing how God works. But see, if we don't step into that field, if we sit by waiting for things to get better, if we sit by and we look at the clouds and say the sky is dark and things are gloomy, we'll never reap a harvest. We never will. It's important that we understand this. So what's this mean then? Realize this, times are uncertain. Okay? God establishes the times and seasons. We don't. You know, Jesus said, look to the field, okay, because it's ready for harvest. And yet at the same time, what we need to realize here is that while we think we know what it is, God knows what it is. He establishes times. He establishes the field. You see, there is a time for reaping. In reaping the results of God's word in the lives of others, we are offering them the opportunity to a new life free of the bondage of sin and death. But we must step into the field to do that. There is a time for reaping. We cannot, We cannot sit idly by watching. God establishes the times and seasons. If we are not overly cautious, if we are overly cautious with what God has called us to do, then we're doomed to failure. Oh my goodness. I don't know why this is doing this. I apologize. There are times He has given us His word as seed to plant in the hearts of others. We've talked about sowing. That sowing is the word. He's given us prayer to water. Doug, would you please run this from up there? It keeps clicking back. It should be, it keeps going backwards. It should be, try to keep it there if you would, please. Wait a minute. Yeah. It should be on the times for each are uncertain. Go ahead and fill in the blanks. Yeah, if you would. Yes. For some reason, I'm having an issue here. Maybe I lost internet connection. I don't know. I keep getting an error message, and it's taking away my notes. He's given us prayer to water the spirits of those in need of in order that the seed might grow. We have been called. We have been called, each and every one of us. This is awful. We've been called to be faithful with this gift of life that God has given each of us. It is a gift to be shared with others and not to be kept to ourselves. This is God's gift. It's what He's called us to do. He's called us to share. And we must share that gift with all, without exception. We do not have the privilege of picking and choosing. We do not have the privilege of looking to the wind or looking to those clouds and saying, now the time is perfect. If we wait for the perfect scenario, it will never occur. I was speaking with a young man yesterday during the reception afterwards, who we've known for quite a while. We've known his family for years. And he saw the Royal Ranger stuff over on the wall. He says, do you guys still have Rangers here? And I said, no. I said, first of all, we don't have enough young boys. But even with that, I said, even before that, we found ourselves as a body saying, Lord, how can you use us best? And it required recasting our vision and our reason for existing and what God wanted to do. And eventually we found that missions and outreach and things like that, reaching out to the world. I said, now, if we get boys tomorrow, could we start a ranger program? Absolutely. Could we start a girls program? Absolutely. We got the classroom, we got the material and everything else. I said, but yet at the same time, God has called us to do something else. And so we need to do what He's called us to do. And this reminded, as I was thinking about that and sharing that with him, it reminded me, of course, and I've got a passage up here, which you may need to go through, from Matthew 25 that we're all familiar with. So let me share this with you. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And I love this next part. To each according to his ability. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have 5 talents more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at my coming, and I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him who gave it, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone will be given more, and he will have abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant in outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I thought about this, and I thought, you know, this is, when we talk about this scattering and casting our bread upon the water, we talk about what I shared this morning in that verse 4, watching the clouds, watching the wind, and I realized something. We cannot sit idly by making excuses for why we shouldn't do. Because our Lord sows where he has not sown, reaps where he has not reaped. It's all his. And we have no excuse. We are called to work the harvest field. Without exception. Without excuse. The writer of Ecclesiastes offers two excuses that if you stood before our Lord God, he would not accept. And the last thing I want to see happen in my life is to stand before my God and say, cast him out. Because you have not been faithful with what I've given you. Some of us in here are 5-talent people. Some of us in here are 2-talent people. I do not believe any of us in here are 1-talent people. God has gifted you. He's given you something special. What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to go? Don't look to the sky. Don't look to the wind. Look to the Lord. There is no acceptable excuse for not working the harvest field of God. The size of the harvest is not the issue. It's just the willingness to work the field. You know what? I know that the Lord said I was a 2-talent person, and I went out and used those 2 talents to the fullest of what he's blessed me with. I can walk away with my head held high, knowing that I've honored my God. And some of you, if you're 10-talent people, I pray you're using the 10 talents to the fullest of what God has given you and blessed you with. So, we begin with a dream. We continue with the difficulty of working, of plowing. We move forward with planting. We are faithful in preparation, and finally we realize the dream. Next week we'll talk about that harvest and what it means. But this morning, there are steps to that harvest that we must take. And my challenge to you today is that we work this field together. Amen? We were talking in Sunday school this morning about, you know, this memorial service last night, we had Arlo's service when he passed, and just the number of people that were in the sanctuary, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, this sanctuary really looks good when it's full. It hides all the blemishes in the carpet, where people spill their drinks that they probably shouldn't have it here, because they don't have lids on them. What else? All kinds of wonderful things. Yeah, I mean, I think if we had enough people, we might even ignore that stuff. Anyway, but the point is that, maybe not, who knows. But the point is that God has called us. Well, it would be great to have that. If that's our reason for going into the field, it's wrong reason. Why is he sending us? The harvest isn't in the pews. The harvest is in the life. We need to harvest lives. That's what he's called us to do. Let's bow our heads. This morning, as we prepare to close, I know I didn't have a time of prayer beforehand, and I do want to pray for those that have a need today. If you have a physical need, you need touch from the Lord, and you have an opportunity here in a minute to come forward, and we'll pray for you. If you have a financial need, a spiritual need, whatever it is. But at the same time, God is looking for field workers, field hands. He's not looking for day laborers. He's looking for farmers. He's not looking for someone who's willing to just go out and do the work of another because you get compensated for it. He's looking for those who are saying, I'm going to take ownership of that field and I'm going to work it to the fullest of its ability. I'm not going to bury my talent in that field. I'm going to take my talents and double the field. I'm going to triple the field. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Any others? Amen. Now, what does this mean? Stop looking at the wind. Stop looking at the clouds. And do something really, really ridiculous by casting your bread upon the water. How silly that is. And yet that's where your return will come from. We can't look at the times and seasons and decide only God can do that. But we can walk with Him through those seasons, through those times. Any others? Father, this morning, for those that raised their hand, I pray in Jesus' name You would bless them with Your truth, that You would speak to them. Open the harvest field, Father, and let us walk in. I pray even now You would begin to speak to each and every one present and say, I'm giving you 5 talents. I'm giving you 2 talents. None of us, Lord, I believe, are 1 talent people. And then, Lord, I want You to impress upon them, and I want us, Lord, to hear from You and to receive from You the idea of taking what's Yours, casting it, multiplying it, using it for Your glory and honor. Holy Spirit, draw us into the field of God's choosing, that we may fulfill His purpose. Bless everyone, Father, that responded. Those, Lord, that are still seeking to hear from You, I pray, speak to them and continue to show them. And may Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified in all that we say and do. Now, Father, as we enter into this time of prayer as well, I ask that You'd be with us. If there's anyone here this morning that has a need, I pray, Lord, that You would lift them up. That they'd come forward and that we would pray together and agree together for that need in the name of Jesus. Anyone at all. If you have a physical need, if you need a healing touch, if you need a spiritual touch or a financial situation in your life, God is here. And He wants to meet with you. Anyone at all. Continue to stay in an attitude of prayer as we pray for ones that come forward. Now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name for everyone present that You would go with us, that You would keep Your hand up on us. Bless Your people, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, we would take that step, that act of faith, and we would do, Father, what seems so ridiculous to us. But we know, Father, to You, great things can occur. Help us to take our eyes off the world and its situations, or off our own lives and its situations, or our surroundings, and focus our eyes on where they need to be, which is in Jesus Christ, which is in His redemptive power. And Holy Spirit, guide and direct us, and go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you. Again, if you're planning on coming next Saturday to help with the work days, please see my wife or I and let us know. Let us know.